Glory to God. Praise you, Father. You're moving. You're moving. You're moving forward. You're moving at a faster rate than you realize. This earth is moving. This existence is moving. Time is pushing you. It is pushing you toward eternity. You're not going to be here much longer. Not only is your life a vapor, this existence, it's a vapor. You're moving. You're moving toward eternity. You are about to be swallowed up by eternity. Death is going to be swallowed up by life. Look up. Be aware. Realize, I am moving you forward. I am moving you forward. Things are moving. Things are advancing. Things are going by. See it. Be aware of it. You are in it. You are here. You are loved. You are part of my kingdom. And I am coming for you. I am coming soon. I am coming soon. Time is moving you. It is moving you. The whole earth is moving. Every person is moving toward eternity. See it. See it. See it. And as you're moving, and as you see that move, look unto me. See me. You're safe. You're loved. You're in my hand. Be about the Father's business. Be about the Father's business. You are moving. You are moving toward eternity. I'm with you. I'm for you. Purpose is going to come up. Purpose is going to rise up. You're moving. You're moving toward eternity. You're moving toward forever. Hallelujah, my child. Look up. See. See what I've prepared for you. Look up and know that you are running into my arms. You are running into forever. Hallelujah. 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 See it. See it. You're moving, you're running, and I am the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Time is moving you. This is so temporary. What you're seeing now is so temporary. If you were raised with Christ, which you were, set your mind on things above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Look up. Look up. Let me show you things to come. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. You know, that word, I just saw a picture in my heart. I saw a picture. You know, when you look at this world, it's kind of like climbing up a mountain. You can see things from different perspectives. And you look around, it's just like everything's just kind of sitting here, just standing still. Things are moving. This existence is moving. Time is pushing us forward. The scripture says that one day he's going to fold this whole thing up like a garment. We're moving toward that time. There was a psalmist said, Lord, teach us to number our days. To realize that this time is so temporary. Not only, Paul put it this way, he said, the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. And I just sense the Lord is just saying this morning, see it. See the glory. This is culminating. This is going fast. And we are running into the arms of Jesus. Sense that. Know that. Praise God. The stuff right now, it is so temporary. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus right now that we would see that, that we would catch that wind. Things are happening. We're moving. And God is getting ready to do an amazing work. It's like a quick work. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. There is a call to look up. To look up. To look up. Praise you, Jesus. Let me give you a practical word now. When I'm talking about looking up, you know your mind can imagine things. You can see things. Pray. Say, Lord, show me. You told me in your word to set my mind on things above where Christ is, not on things on the earth. You want my heart and mind to be grounded in heaven. Lord, show me what that means. Show me those good works you've ordained me to walk in. Lord, I want to have eternity in my eyes. I want to see what you see. I want to unplug from the cares of this world. And I want to see your heart. I want to see your purpose. The wind of the Spirit is moving. It's blowing. I want to flow with that flow, the power of your Spirit. Praise you, Jesus. You are new creations. You're pilgrims and strangers in this earth. Your citizenship, it's in heaven. See it, know it, realize you're walking toward it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just for that breath of eternity, we receive it. We thank you for it. Praise God. Well, you may go ahead and be seated this morning.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. Well, so good to, you know, take communion. Communion is one of those services the Lord knew we would need to take often. We need to be reminded, you know, and just to get our bearings, kind of get our center. And I think that's one of the powerful things that communion does for us as we're going on, we're living for God, and, you know, sometimes we're just getting caught up in the cares of life, wherever we may be on the spectrum, there's something about communion that brings you right back. Brings you right back here. Remember where you came from? That foundation of Christ. And it's kind of like, that's what I just sense happens in my heart. It's kind of like you're doing that to your foundation. Hey, I'm here because I'm loved by God. And he gave his life for me. And the reason why I'm living for him and loving him is because he first loved me. And there's just something about that, going back to that first love that God had for us. Praise God. Well, we're going to go ahead this morning. We're going to start in a passage in 2 Corinthians. This is the Apostle Paul talking, and he's talking about some stuff that they're going through. And as we read these two passages, you know, it's all part of the same chapter. He kind of starts out talking about kind of what they're going through in a certain perspective, and then he kind of summarizes the same stuff from a different perspective. So we'll go ahead and take a look at these scriptures back to back. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, Paul speaking, he says, "We are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's and not ours. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We're persecuted by others, but God has not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out." So here's the Apostle Paul describing kind of a day in the life of his missionary journey experiences and the stuff that he's going through. And it's powerful to, you know, see how God was with him. And it's not like just because you're living for God and loving God and serving God that everything is just going to be smooth sailing and quiet and calm and easy. There's going to be issues. There is an enemy. There is an adversary. Jesus said, you will have tribulation in this world. It's kind of what Paul's describing. Yeah, we're living for God. We got stuff happening. But then he goes on toward the end of this chapter, and he kind of resummarizes it like this. He said, for our present troubles, which you just got done bullet pointing, are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. For we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So basically, what Paul is saying here is, yeah, we got stuff going on. We got people and circumstances and situations just like everybody does. He says, but he has the ability. He's saying, these present troubles, they're small. They're not going to last very long. And when you're living for God and you're endeavoring to do what you do and you're getting persecuted and you're getting kicked around and you're getting, he's saying, he sees past the stuff. He sees past the circumstances to the glory. He sees past it to what he says, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. So they're in the middle of stuff. They're in the middle of real life situations. But he says, we fix our gaze past the circumstances and we're looking at something. And that's what the Apostle Paul, you know, wrote to the Colossians. He said, set your mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Have a gaze that's set there. Fix your gaze there, not just because you're a Christian and you should be thinking about spiritual things. It's that gaze that helps you to see through the stuff you're going through now. In other words, the Apostle Paul was basically saying we're looking past these things and we're looking out ahead of what's beyond these things. We're looking where we're going to. There's a race that's set before us. We're you know, pressing to the mark of the prize, the upward call. And so he had this ability, even though he's going through things, to not let those things just get in his head and stop him, you know. And so what he says in the first part again is he says, though we experience every kind of pressure, that's quite a statement. He's experiencing all the different kinds of pressures. He has the ability in the middle of that pressure to see past it and find comfort and strength and peace in the middle of every situation. And this morning, I'm just simply wanting to minister along the lines of handling pressure, okay? One of the things that the Apostle Paul was good at was handling pressure. He had this stuff going, you know, when you look at that list, too, it's just all different kind of stuff. You know, we're experiencing every kind of pressure. We're not crushed. At times, we don't know what to do, but quitting isn't the option, all right? You don't know. You're pressuring because you don't know stuff. Sometimes you're persecuted by others, but God hasn't forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. You're set back. You wanted to do something, and you're set back. You can't do what you wanted to do. You're knocked down, but you're not knocked out. He has all these different kinds of circumstances, frustrations, pressures, but yet in the middle of that, the Apostle Paul, you could say he's kind of like that Energizer Bunny. He kept going and going and going, but he had a secret. He knew how to handle pressure. He knew how to get past the what he could see with his eyes and encourage himself in the Lord. And so this morning, I just want to take a look at that and just learn a few things along those lines as it relates to handling pressure. And as we're looking at pressure, of course, there's a lot of different kind of pressures if you want to talk about relationship or financial or job or health or, you know, there's just a lot of stuff, a lot of different kinds of pressure. I want to kind of look at pressure more categorically in a way, because a lot of those specific pressures kind of roll up into the same general pressures. And so as we're looking at pressure, we're just going to take a look at a few different areas of pressure that we get, that we experience, but that God has answers for. You know, when I was in high school, back in the day, there was a song out by Billy Joel called Pressure. You know, if you kind of in my area, you might know what I'm talking about. You cannot handle pressure. You know, you have some cosmic rationale with your faith and your Peter Pan advice.
If you remember, any of you guys remember a song, but it's kind of put in the dig, kind of like religion's a crutch, you know. Yeah. And what does the scripture say? It says, spiritual things are foolishness to the natural man. That's the way they look. Oh, yeah, some cosmic, okay. You can't handle pressure. Of course, then they turn around and have all kinds of addictions and things like they do to handle their pressure, you know, as they point a finger at religion, you know. But that's neither here nor there. Not here nor there. The point is that you're going to have to understand some things. You do have the ability to handle pressure. And it is spiritual. It is faith. It's not Peter Pan advice. It's not cosmic rationale. It's the Word of God. And I thought of that scanned thing this morning. I mean, you see people, and you see people that have peace. I mean, you see people, you talk to people, and you know that look in their eye, and you know that faith in their eye. You see a strength of spirit. Yeah, they may be 80 on the outside. The Bible says, though the outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. And they're looking back at you through eyes of strength of spirit. And it's like, well, almost intimidating sometimes. And you see their strength of spirit and their heart for God and different things like that. And but you realize that they've got something. They've lived their whole life with something that's kept them steady and strong. These are older people, you know, but they knew it. And there's some things you got to understand just at a high level before you even delve into it. Salvation is simple, right? It's for whosoever will. You don't have to be an intellectual genius. There is no physical feat. There is no social class, status, finance. It's just whosoever will. Believe and you're saved. All the things of God are like that. And it's hard. A lot of times we have to get past our own ego. We have to humble ourselves as a little child to call upon the name of the Lord. Because man's ego and gets in the way, and I don't need a Savior. Yes, we do. We need a Savior. And we all come to that moment where you realize, I need Jesus. You know, and that same humility, humbling yourself as a child, inflection point to get saved, comes when it comes to living for God too. It's so simple to be able to handle pressure. The peace stuff, it's simple. You know, we learn the Bible, we learn a bunch of scriptures, we pray, and you can almost kind of build up this system of, I got to be this, you know, a master's degree in spirituality to be able to handle pressure. You don't. You don't. You'll grow spiritually. But no matter where you're at, you can handle pressure because it's not of you. That's what Paul was saying. He said, you know, we got this. You know, we're like common jars of clay. We carry this glorious treasure. The extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's and not ours. And it's that same thing where you're learning to handle pressure. It's God's work in you. And so we're going to look at some basic general areas. Pressure. The pressure to know everything. The pressure to know. I got to know. Jesus put it this way. He said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. In other words, take comfort in knowing he knows. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's like, set your mind on things above. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble. You can see where Jesus is just getting us focused on like one day at a time. One day at a time. I've had things out there, and I know I got to deal with that, Lord. And I just have peace about not having to figure it out today. It's been amazing. The more I've drawn into the Lord, the more I've slowed down. He just does that. The more you draw into him, it's like his spirit makes you lie down in green pastures. He leads you beside still waters. But you're used to doing this, and you realize, I don't really have to do that. I don't have to stay up 4 extra hours. I could just go to sleep, and the world isn't going to blow up tomorrow. And I got a little extra sleep. There's an anxiety that's addictive, I'm saying. There's an anxiousness that we're used to. It's a routine. It's a da-da-da-da-da. And the Holy Spirit just begins to slow you down. And it's not that you're irresponsible, but you begin to realize that, you know, I'm just taking it one day at a time. He knows. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'm being responsible to pray. And And that's exactly the instruction that we're given. The Apostle Paul said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sister, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So what is he saying? He's just saying, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Get what's, you know, causing anxiety. In other words, if you have anxiety and you're worrying about something, you don't know something. There's something you don't know, and you need to know what you don't know. And when you don't know what you need to know, it causes anxiety. And God knows that. And so he says, pray it out. Now, this is where I really want to get the inflection point. It's one thing for the world to point to the church and say Peter Pan advice. But the church better not be thinking Peter Pan advice when you go to the throne of grace and you air out what's in your heart. There's faith here. There's believing. Here's another way Peter puts it. He says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amplified, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. There's a place here, and we've been kind of on a series, just come off a series about no fear, you know, fear not. And as we've been walking and talking and learning about fearing not, we've kind of had this place right here. We've kind of said it's kind of that place of faith where you're making your declaration, you're making your stand, you're taking your authority, right? And then right over here is where you're standing in faith. You have a trial of faith, that where you're coming through, and then you come through to the other side where you're strengthened, established, settled, perfected, you know. But there's this process of faith, and we've kind of looked at it in the context of taking authority over the enemy. But there's something that we got to realize here too, and it's as it relates to prayer. It's as it relates to what we would call casting our cares on the Lord. We're talking about handling pressure. There's a pressure built up. I don't know and I need to know, where I can be able to take my cares and cast them on the Lord and say, Lord, here it is. Here's the situation. You see the big picture. Everything is naked, open, clear to you. You know what's true, what's not true, what's right, what's wrong. You see what I can't see. I'm just praying it out of my heart. I'm casting this care on you. I need you to care for me. Now, this is not negligence. This is not neglecting anything. This is seeking first the kingdom of God and doing what he said in his word, giving it to him, where you're casting your care upon the Lord. And this is a place of faith, right? It's one thing when I'm resisting the devil to speak to that mountain, not doubt in my heart, but believe that those things I say will come to pass and I'll have whatever I say. And I resist the enemy. I break that power in Jesus' name. In my mind's eye, it is gone. I'm standing in faith and I'm ready to stand therefore, right? That's one way we stand and exercise faith. We exercise faith to resist the devil. We also exercise faith to petition our God. You use faith to petition, to let your requests be made known unto God, to pray. And it's the same faith, okay? It's the same faith that you are doing. When you're standing here resisting the enemy, you're believing something. When you're standing in faith, you're saying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I take this care, I take this situation, and I cast it upon you. I declare it. I ask for your wisdom. I ask for your understanding. You might even be here, and you may be so in a fog about something that you're just going to stand here and say, Lord, show me how to pray about this. Show me what to ask for. I can't even know where to start, but I'm just taking this thing, and I'm giving it to you. You show me. You show me what to do with it. What am I doing? I am casting that care upon him. Again, this is easy. You got to humble yourself as a little child to receive Jesus. You got to humble yourself as a little child to believe this and to declare it. It is written. Do not worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. And this is that same principle of faith. When you say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things which you say come to pass, you will have whatsoever you say. That's why there's a victory, because you believe it. You may be standing here for a little while, but you're standing in faith and victory when you're taking authority. Same thing in prayer. Lord, I cast that care on you. In my mind's eye, in the same way I see the power of the enemy broken, I see my Lord with that care by faith. In Jesus' name, he's got it. Praise God. And then I'm standing here. But what am I doing? It's relieving that pressure. I'm saying, Lord, you've got it. Here's a great old hymn. We sing this a lot of times when we do go to scan. Maybe this is what kind of prompted my whole scan thought pattern, but it's that old song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrow share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. You know, it's simple. Like I said, we're growing in faith, we're growing in understanding, we're getting revelation, but the answer is just simple. It's just praying it and declaring it and saying, Father, here it is. I'm just taking it to you in prayer. I'm not trying to fix anything, but what happens when we do that? It says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. The peace that passes understanding, that's for us here. I'm standing here with a peace that passes my understanding, that guards my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I've been here with stuff and things that I've thought about and, you know, wondered about and over here, and I've been over here and the Lord has said to me, you're going to get to that in about 3 months. Wow. Okay. Don't worry about that. Go on down the road. It's just not time. You know, when you get to where you need to deal with some things, he'll show you what and when, and the grace will be there. Kind of like a building project. Things have to be done in sequence. You got to start with the foundation. You got to do some things, but there's a sequence to stuff. And a lot of times when God is doing something in your life, there's a sequence to it, you know? But I need that, you know, second bathroom put in. It'll get put in. But right now we're going to start with first things first. You have some bigger fish to fry. There's some other things that I'm going to deal with you on first, all right? And when you follow this stuff, then you're going to see clearly for some of that other stuff. So as we're doing that, we realize that there's a sequence in the way that God will do things. And so just that pressure to know everything. There is a very simple step, and that's when we just come before the Lord. And this is just what I want this message this morning to be, is a simple reminder, a lot of stuff that maybe you already know, but it's the answer. You know that? It's sometimes we kind of get in that sense of where I'm trying to find the missing link spiritually. A lot of times we already know what to do. It's not going to be dramatic. It's not going to be, it's just simply faith in what you know. Father, I cast this care on you in Jesus' name. In the same way the pressure's broken off with demonic powers when they're coming against me in Jesus' name, when I cast that care upon him, the pressure's off me, because the same faith that believes in the power to break Satan's authority believes in the goodness of God to carry my care for me. And I believe that he has it. It's the same faith. I believe I receive it. I don't doubt in my heart. I believe he has it in Jesus' name. And he'll show me what I need to know. Simple faith. That's it, though. And it works. Praise God. Do you have all the answers? No. But you do have a peace that passes your understanding, that's keeping your heart and mind until you get the answers that you need when you need them. And he'll show you that. So that pressure to need to know. There's also not just the pressure to know everything, but sometimes you get that pressure to do everything. And I love this illustration Paul gives of the body of Christ. The body is not one member, but many. Foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, am I not of the body? I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And so what is the Apostle Paul saying? We got to keep in mind, you know, as we're doing things, that, and he uses the example of the body of Christ. In other words, no one person can do it all. It's one body, many members. We all have to do what God is showing us to do. That's true in a church family. It's true in a natural family. It's true on the job. It's true in all these different contexts. There's our part that we have to do. And it's easy, you know, again, in the same way we have to humble ourselves and be able to cast our cares in the Lord, we also have to humble ourselves and realize that we just can't do everything, even though we see other things that need to be done. Doesn't mean that we do, just because we see the need, doesn't mean that God's calling us to do that just because we see it, all right? Not necessarily. It could be. God could lead you. He could prompt you to see something to do it. It's possible. But just because you see something, that doesn't automatically mean that you're supposed to do it. There's some discerning there. I remember, Coach Bill Belichick of the Patriots had a very popular phrase that he would say with his team that would help him be successful. He said, just do your job. Just do your job. A football team has all those positions. Just do your job. Don't try to do everybody else's job. And you it sounds so simple, but I played football. And it's very, you know, I was a strong safety, so I'd have to contain the outside. So if they ran outside, I'd have to take on that lead block, turn the play inside, so the linebacker, somebody sometimes could make the tackle. But sometimes they're coming around, and you think, I see the lead blocker, but you know what? I could sneak in there and make the tackle myself. I don't have to try to turn this whole play inside. I know I could do it myself, you know, and I'll try to do that, and sure enough, you get blocked out, the play goes outside, there's no contain, and it's like, oh, you're trying to do too much. You know, you're trying to... you're trying to overcompensate because you see things and you got to know, I got to stay in my lane. I got to do what I'm supposed to do. I got to trust that linebacker is going to be there to make the tackle. Because you know what? You might do it one play and you're the hero and you sack them back for 5-yard loss and you go, yeah, and I'm going to do that the next time. And they know your inclination to do that and they tee on you for the next time. And so you learn that, I got to stay within my realm. I got to stay with what I'm called to do because that's where the anointing is. That's where there's a grace. That's where I can be. I don't have to do everything. I just have to do what I'm supposed to do. That's a big part of handling pressure. A lot of pressure we deal with is pressure we put on ourselves. God isn't putting it on us. It's suggestions to take it. And there's stuff that we just got to pass on and just realize that, no, you know what? That's not the Lord. That's not what he wants me to do. And here's kind of the beautiful continuation of this picture. You know, we speak the truth in love, growing way more and more like Christ, who's the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, just as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts to grow, so the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And when it comes to, you know, whether it's serving in the church or whatever God's called you to do on the job, or that's where it's important to know he's working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And to just sense, what is that? That's my responsibility. There are people who were put on this earth, they were born to sing. They were born, you know, to minister. They were born to do businesses. They were born to dance. And Brother Jeff back there, he's our resident. I was actually born to not dance, so... I think I have an anointing to not dance, actually, when I think about it. So you got what's that? A balance, yeah. Well, if you ever see me dancing, cutting it up, I don't know. I think you'd call that a science denier if I did that. But you got to know what you're good, what you're not. You got that witness, right? So you know, hey, this is, oh, there's just something that just ignites in me that's excited about this. And know that stuff that isn't. It's not like, and just because something isn't just going off in your heart, and it's a good thing. I mean, one body of Christ, one body, many members. You look at different areas of ministry, they're all valuable, right? You can make your case for the importance of it, but just because it's valuable, and I don't have that, you know, that hunger to do that, I respect it and love it and support it, it doesn't mean that I have to do it if there's not an anointing and a grace to do it, okay? And that's where we can get out of balance, you know, with things. Here's a great illustration. The famous Scottish pastor, Robert Murray McShane, Cheyenne, I think, was one of the most powerful ministers to ever stand in the pulpits of Edinburgh and Dundee. But he died at the age of 29, partly because he had weakened his body by overwork, excessive busyness, and chronic fatigue. He reportedly said as he was dying, "The Lord gave me a horse to ride and a message to deliver. Alas, I've killed the horse and can't deliver the message." Yeah, that's tragic. I mean, right in the prime. But you know what he did? He was not taking care of his body. You see, when you get out of your lane or you're doing things, it can be good stuff. But if we're getting outside of the grace, there's a pressure there to feel, but I see it's important, I got to do it. Well, it's pray about it. You know what I mean? And then if God shows you to do it, by all means, do what he shows you to do. But just seeing the need isn't enough there. We have an example here in Scripture where the Apostle Paul talks about Epaphroditus. He said, "I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need, since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick, almost to death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I sent him the more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." Now you'll notice that in verse 26, it says, you had heard that he was longing for you. He was distressed because you'd heard that he was sick. Verse 27, he was sick almost unto death. He said, but God had mercy on him. Now, it doesn't just say that God healed him. It said God had mercy on him. He worked himself to where he almost died. Now, what if Epaphroditus had died? What if his body had given up? You'd have to say, man, his motives are right. His heart was right. His work was good. But there is a part of regarding our life, regarding our physical body. We need to regard our physical body. If you're feeling that extreme fatigue or you're feeling something, we have to respect that. We have to take care of the horse. We have to take care of this vessel. We have a responsibility to do that. I remember Kenneth Hagin, the guy whose school I came out of, shared where he kind of was in a great ministry and he was going and it was a powerful service. In his body, he could tell he needed to stop. And in his mind, he just, no, I'm just going to push past. And he was just going, you know, and he violated the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was alerting him, you need to stop. You need to rest. We're not Superman. This is not about us. This is not about, it's about Jesus. And you know what Jesus said too? He just said, I do what I see the Father do. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father do. And we have to have that same humility. We don't just do what is good and right. We do what we see the Father do. We do what we have that anointing and grace for. Because really, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. All right? A lot of the popular phrase these days is stay in your lane. Okay? And spiritually, we have to stay in the lane of the good works he's ordained us to do. Because you could step outside and they could be good works, but the grace and the anointing isn't there. So as we're working for God, living for God, and this isn't just spiritual ministry stuff, okay? This is stuff that you're going to take on. It can be house stuff. It could be projects, natural projects, and that would be good. And yeah, it might be good, and I can make a case for it, but am I getting it? Do I have a piece about that? Should I be taking that on? Do I have to do everything? Maybe we could do it next year. You know, we're just talking about handling pressure. We put pressure on ourselves that we don't have to. But to just be listening, you know, as the Lord leads us into those green pastures and still waters, you'll find that he'll slow you down. And part of me, and I'm just talking about myself, I don't want to slow down because this is kind of my personality. Well, he wants to work on that a little bit. Not because he doesn't like your personality, he loves you. But he wants you to be more free and more open. Because the less you're busy about that stuff, you don't see things and hear things well. The more calm, the more chill, the more seeking first the kingdom of God, you see things, you hear things, you're clear. And then what you do is deliberate, and there's peace in it. You may not be getting as much stuff done as you would in the old mode, but there's a lot of peace this way. And you find out you're not trying to do everything because you're just doing what he's showing you to do. And then finally, there's the pressure to fix everything, okay? You can either feel that pressure to know everything, gotta know, or gotta do everything, or I gotta fix this. God put me on this earth to fix all this stuff. I'm here. And praise God, he does use us to fix things. But there can be an area that we get into, again, handling pressure, to where we can put a bunch of stuff on ourselves that just, you know, again, we got to kind of make sure of stuff. In Revelation, Jesus says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. We'll share a meal together as friends. And when we're in that fix-it mode, a lot of times, and we're trying to overdo things, we can hear that knock on the door. We can hear just the sense of God and wanting to live for God and that sense of wanting to get it right. It's like, I hear Jesus knocking on the door. I want to get this house cleaned up before I let him in. I want to get these rooms cleaned up, and then I'll let him in. Then we're going to have strong fellowship. Then it's going to be power. But I'm just going to get some things fixed up here. I'm going to try to get some things taken care of, and then we'll not. I don't want him to see this mess. Well, we know theologically he already sees it anyway. But that's where, when we get out of that fix-it mode, we just go by faith. Yeah, I got a mess here, and I got a mess here, and I got a mess there. But praise God, he's knocking at the door. What do? We let him in, and that's what Philippians 4:13 is about. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything, equal to anything, through him. Come on in, who infuses inner strength into me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. In other words, I'm not trying to clean up the house before I let him in. I let him in so together we can clean up the house. We can fix things. We can get messes looking right. And so, you know, in order. And so sometimes when we get in that, I got to fix everything mode, I like how, you know, this version puts it, says, come in, we'll share a meal together as friends. It's kind of the same principle. Before I start trying to tinker with things and fix things, you need to have a meal with the Lord. Let him in. And then begin to, by faith, you know, say, Lord, what about that? You know, maybe I just am supposed to pray about that right now. You know, maybe I need to confront something. If I do, show me how to do that. You know, I really don't know. But what is this again? You're working with the Holy Spirit. You're working with Jesus. When I'm in that fix-it mode, I have to get myself by the nape of the neck and say, okay, am I off trying to fix things? Or am I at the table? Are we sharing a meal? Are we doing this together? I need the Lord's wisdom. I need his grace. I need that ability to just rest and realize again, I don't have to fix everything. Isn't that cool when you just leave something alone and it resolves without your intervention? You realize that, wow, praise God. You know, there's things I need to do, but there's things I can stay away from. How do I know? I let him in. I'm not trying to clean up the house. I'm not trying to clean up rooms. I'm just letting him. I'm coming before Jesus. You know what Jesus said? Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. When you're sitting with him at that table, he's meek and he's lowly in heart. He's restoring your soul, and he'll show you the paths to walk in from there. But the important thing to realize is that he ultimately, you know, we were talking about this morning, we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are. Again, this is the one who's knocking at that door. Yet without sin, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So what are we saying? We're talking just handling the pressure of trying to fix everything. Here again, God's going to slow us down and just say, Ed, you don't have to. There may be somebody who's doing something to you that's frustrating you, that's bothering you. And the Lord may just say, you know what? Just, it's okay. You just walk in the grace that I give you. You know, when it's time to do something, I'll show you when it's time to do something. You know, there will be things and situations that will happen where you'll feel like, I got to get this resolved. I got to get this fixed before I can go on. You don't always have to. I mean, sometimes you will, but there's going to be situations where you're just going to, that thing that you feel like you got to fix, it's just going to cause you to draw into God. Just draw into Him, draw into His wisdom, draw into His grace. But if you don't have anything, stay put. If you don't have anything, stay put. Listen. Listen. I love that picture of Jesus when they depict it in John's gospel with a woman caught in the act of adultery. You know, they're getting ready. They want to stone her. What do we do, Jesus? Do we stone her or do we not stone her? He's just like drawing in the sand. He's just waiting. He's just listening. One thing we know about whatever he's about to say next is he's going to say what he hears the Father say. He has that mode. He's not uptight. He's just has that relationship with the Father. And that's where we're at too, where we can realize that it's the same way that I don't have to. I love that scripture. Look unto Jesus, the author. You know, we're looking unto him, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward. Have you ever, you know, it's been a long time, but if you've ever been roller skating. Yeah. Wow, Scott. All right. Late 70s, early 80s. Back when we did roller skating, and we just go around this loop, right? And you're going. One of the dumbest things I've ever done roller skating is look behind me. Because you got people behind you that are hot dogging and just missing you, and you got little kids that are bobbling and bumbling kind of in your direction. It's like, I mean, I look back and I've got about 15 things I need to problem solve when I look back. And then the smartest thing I do is just look forward, and it's peace instantly again, you know? Because you got all that stuff going on. And that's what the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things that are ahead. And all of a sudden, I'm not trying to problem solve a bunch of potential things that could happen to me. I'm just keeping my eyes ahead and making sure I stay out of the way of the person who's in front of me. All right? And a lot of times, the Holy Spirit will kind of do that to you too when you're skating, you know, and you're looking back and you'll say, don't look back. You just keep looking. I'll take care of that. All right? You just keep looking straight ahead. And, you know, I'll give you the grace for that. So what are we talking? Just handling pressure, realizing the pressure to know everything, do everything, fix everything. It's not yours. It's learning how to do what Paul did. He got in those tight spots, those circumstances, and he could just look past it. He could see past it. He had a walk with the Lord where he could just slow down, just do what the Heavenly Father was calling him to do. And when you know how to do that, then that's everything. Because no matter what the enemy throws at you, you know how to find your rest and find your peace in God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning just for your grace to help us in our time of need. And we do. We come confidently before that throne of grace to help us. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace that I can live a life free from pressure. It's not Peter Pan advice. It's Holy Spirit inspiration. It's Word of God promise. You love me. You're with me. Your ways are simple. It's simple to get saved. It's simple to walk by faith. So I call upon your name. And I pray. I bring my burdens to you, Lord Jesus, in prayer, believing that when I take them to you, you take them from me. I see in my heart that you have them, and you'll show me what I need to know. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're with me, that I don't have to do everything, just what you've called me to do. Help me to listen and follow that peace, what you're working in me to will and to do. That's it. Thank you, Father. Don't have to fix everything. Just have to look to you. and do what you show me and do what you show me to do. Thank you for this peace. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to lie down and let you lead. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that word this morning. Again, just kind of a stirring up your remembrance. God loves you. He's with you. And, you know, one of the things they did so well at Bible school when they talked to us about the Holy Spirit was they really emphasized the person of the Holy Spirit. That the Spirit of God isn't just a power to do stuff, but the Holy Spirit is a person. You're not orphaned. You're not alone because a person is there. And there's just something about in these places, you get to know that person of the Holy Spirit and sense His person and His presence. And I just believe that you will grow in that sense of His love for you and His presence with you. Amen. Praise God.